Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Pam, Ricky, and I are at Walt Disney World right now, getting ready for tomorrow's six-hour live show from Give Kids the World. I sure hope you can join us from 2 to 8 Eastern here on Facebook or YouTube, and we'll, of course, have the coverage on the feed as the month of December gets on. Today, we're playing Win, Fail, or Meh with situations from Walt Disney World, like the new fountain show during the day at Epcot, character cavalcades, technology with your dining experiences at Walt Disney World, and much more. So stay tuned for some fun conversation. Don't forget today's show brought to you by three entities, themagicforless.com. Check them out. They're a platinum earmarked agency. They're the best of the best, and they can help you plan an amazing Disney vacation for here in the later stages of 2020 or all throughout 2021. Check them out today. Fill out that quote form. Mention the show over at themagicforless.com. Also, a free way to support the show is to use our Amazon affiliate link as you do your holiday shopping. Or if you're like me, I had to buy some hand warmers for my runs each morning because it's super cold now. Just use our Amazon affiliate link. Click through one extra click and it supports the show. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And a huge shout out to our patrons. You're helping carry the show while travel has slowed down just a bit here in 2020. And I thank each and every one of you for that. If you'd like some extra content like Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1810 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. And welcome to the six-hour live show pre-show. We're calling this the pre-show.
You made me nervous.
Oh my gosh, we are so ready for tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Friday, we are going to be live from Give Kids the World Village in Kissimmee, Florida, right outside of Walt Disney World, 2 to 8 Eastern, six straight hours of the Be Our Guest podcast. Be careful, hydrate, take small breaks, whatever you got to do. But join us 2 to 8 on Saturday. That's December 5th. Tomorrow, as you listen to this show, of course, raising money for the amazing angels down at Give Kids the World. We'll be taking you around to see 3 million lights. Well, you might not see all 3 million, but you're going to see a lot of Christmas lights. You're going to see maybe podcasters on rides. We're going to have special interviews. We're going to be taking your calls. We're going to be talking about all the great stuff in the auction, which get on that right now. So many great things. We're saving 2020 as a podcast family, right? This year hasn't been perfect, but man, we can walk out of this weekend and out of 2020 with big smiles on our faces knowing we did something special. I can't wait. I'm at Walt Disney World right now, so follow me on the social media. I'm probably posting a picture right now like at Caribbean Beach after a run or, you know, maybe of my Mickey waffles. I don't know. I hope. So anyway, we're having a good time. So joining me today, we're playing Win, Fail, or Meh. To kick off the weekend, we have Ricky from the mouseforless.com and Auction Central. What's up, Ricky?
Am I awake? I don't know.
Yes. I can't wait till tomorrow. It's going to be so fun.
I know. See, I'm so excited. I'm hitting myself. I am so excited. We are finally here. Months in the making. At this point, years in the making because it took us forever to get to this point. But we are here with the Be Our Guest Holiday Fest at Give Kids the World. Like Mike said, the auction is currently live. There are so many awesome items that are available that you can bid on and potentially win. As a reminder, the auction ends tomorrow. That is Saturday, December 5th at 8 p.m. And yes, we're allowing sniping. So if you want to come in there and swoop in and get an item, not one that I'm bidding on, by the way, just, you know, if you see my name listed, just ignore that item. I'm just saying. But anything else, come and bid on and swipe away. And it's going to be awesome. So I'm so excited that we're here. I cannot believe it. I'm in Walt Disney World right now, too, yes. Which is so awesome. I'm ready to help raise money for Give Kids the World. And, you know, like we said before, it's not just an auction. if you feel so inclined and you just want to donate, you can make it just a donation as well. And it can be any amount, which is also awesome. So, you know, just please, please help. Like Mike said, you know, the we're trying to help so that when Give Kids the World can officially open again, because, you know, right now, obviously COVID is causing some issues, but we want to be able to send all those kids that are, you know, haven't been able to accomplish their wish yet because of COVID. Like, I want to be able to send them immediately. Like, I want them to be able to experience, you know, Give Kids the World and everything that the facility has to offer, because it is an amazing, amazing place, as those of us who have been to Give Kids the World can attest to. So I'm so excited. Can you tell I'm excited? Yeah, oh my gosh, so I'm so excited.
I mean, it's the best of everything. It's Walt Disney World. It's Give Kids the World. I get to see you guys. I haven't seen you in forever.
I know.
We get to see a lot of our listeners, so many folks. And do come up and say, you know, we'll see you socially distant. We'll be masked up, of course, because you have to be. And, you know, selfies from a distance.
Yes,
too. So if you see us
that.
In the parks,
I've
come say
that.
Hey.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
Long range lens. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, who is currently residing in Walt Disney World as well. We have Pam Forrester. What's up, Pam?
Hi, everyone. I'm excited too. I mean, 2020 has been wow.
Yes.
But this is our opportunity to do something really cool in 2020 and make it memorable for a good reason.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a big bonus and a little cherry on top of this year. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm so glad we have the opportunity to do this. I think that it really helps us all, I think, when we get to do something that brings a little joy to other people. So,
right. Okay. So I was just backstory on what you just said, Pam. It just kind of hit a chord with me. Now I'm re-listening to an Audible book. It's called A Man on the Moon, and it's the basis for when Tom Hanks made this miniseries for HBO back in 94 called From the Earth to the Moon. And it's basically the story of the Apollo program, you know, from like they do a little Mercury Gemini, but it's basically the Apollo program, all the missions, how, you know, just the back of how, you know, the backstory of how all these engineers came together, the astronauts trained, all this stuff. So there's a mission, if you follow space history, just a brief, this is my space camp coming out in me, instructor. But Apollo 8, before they went to the moon on Apollo 11, they had to go to the moon before they landed, right? And so at the very end of 1968, Apollo 8 set out on this mission at the last minute to beat the Russians. We went to the moon and orbited the moon and came around and came back to Earth. It was basically a figure eight. We went from Earth to the moon, around it one time, and came back. Okay, so those three astronauts, they went around the moon they actually orbited the moon like 10 times, but they went around the moon and orbited on Christmas Eve. And so that was a big deal. But when they got back, if you know American history, 1968 was a really rough year for the United States. There was lots of violence. Of course, there was demonstrations against the war in Vietnam, assassinations, Dr. Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, all kinds of stuff. Bad stuff happened all throughout 1968. People always said that. But when the astronauts got back, somebody sent them a message and just said, your mission saved 1968. So I'm not saying we're like astronauts and that, but I'm just saying it's kind of cool at the end of the year to say, you know what? I mean, this is something. You know, it's like, you know, we're not saving 2020. It was a long story. It wasn't as far as going to the moon and back, but I'm just saying it is. We're trying to make the best out of this year. This year's been, you know, but hey, we'll try to save it as best we can. Anyway.
I think it's a great example of how something like this can really turn things around.
Right.
Like something good, something meaningful. Something, you know, something that just is a group of people getting together to help other people can really turn something around. So I'm looking forward to doing it. I can't wait to be there.
It's all about perspective. And Bob, he's saving 2020 by he has Christmas cookies in the oven. So there you go. That's saving my 2020. Okay.
Yes.
I can't stop thinking about that now. All right. So we're playing Win, Fail, or Meh. And you may not have been around back in the day when Beta Mouse was around. That was a podcast years and years ago that we all enjoyed. And we still miss today. And one of the things they did was they would take a topic and they would just throw out the, you know, you got to pick one of the three about the topic. So I'm going to kick it off here with a situation for us all three. And if you have one, please put it in the live chat. We'll throw it on here. Here's my first one. I want to get your on. And again, we're not being negative. We're not being mean if we don't like something. We're just, it's our opinion right now as of early December 2020. Okay, and this is not debuted yet. So here's what I'm asking for the first situation. The daytime fountains in World Showcase. Now, I'm not talking Harmonious at Night. I'm talking about the new announcement that said there's going to be a fountain show during the day in World Showcase. And because of this, we're going to have permanent fixtures in the middle of World Showcase Lagoon. Is this a win? Is this a fail? Or is this a meh? Ricky, what do you think? Where do you categorize that before we've ever even seen it? What do you think?
I mean, based off of concept art alone, I'm actually going to go with a win on this. I think this is fantastic. I love, you know, we got rid of the Fountain of Nations with all of the construction that's been going on in Epcot. And, you know, while this is not a replacement for the Fountain of Nations by any stretch of the imagination, it will be nice to see, you know, the fountains in a different and unique way. I wonder if they will also do like the water shows like the Fountain of Nations did. I kind of hope they do. I kind of hope that they actually use the same songs. That would be a really great tie-in for, you know, like, hey, you know, we don't have the Fountain of Nations anymore, but we have something very similar out here. So, you know, I think that I think it's a huge win, and I am excited to finally be able to see it when it's, you know, all said and done. So.
What if they use all the classic Future World attractions from the 80s music for the fountain show during the day? All the nerds would lose their minds.
They would.
Like me. I mean, I'm just saying nerds in a nice way because I'm a nerd. I mean, trust me, dude. I'd be like, whoa, Disney, you're on. It was like Epcot Forever. Everybody loved that because of the music.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, they loved the first half of it.
I can't even remember it anymore. God, that's how long it's been.
I know. It played for such a short amount of time at this point.
Yes. That's so sad. All right, Pam, win, fail, or meh on the fountain show in the middle of World Showcase?
I think it's absolutely a win. I think anytime that Disney sort of brings this passive show to guests that really they could sort of happen upon it or they could plan in advance to see it or whatnot, I think that that's a win because there's always going to be people who are looking for something different than the rest of the people who were in a theme park are looking for. You're going to have your thrill seekers. You're going to have people who are just there to be with their family and see other things. You're going to have people who love shows. You're going to have people who hate shows. You're going to have people who want to see characters and people who don't. But this is something that I think really sort of occupies your time while you're waiting to do other stuff or could be the complete focus of why you're there. So I love things like that. I think that this is absolutely a win.
I'm also leaning towards a win. I'm between a meh and a win. The only thing that negative I have is that if it destroys the panoramic view from Future World into World Showcase Lagoon to see all the country's facades, I love that. And I hope that isn't a thing of the past once they install all this stuff. But I mean, I'm a huge fan of fountains. And I think with the move, and of course, Future World's plans have been changed with the pandemic and the cutbacks and so forth. But the whole move was to make things feel more green. And, you know, fountains are, they're not green, but they're very much a vibrant living, you know, cooling down, not asphalt kind of feel. You know, and I think it goes along with that theme. And, you know, just think about the Bellagio. Say out in Vegas, I got to see the Bellagio fountains like 20 years ago, and they were mind-blowing. I'm sure now Disney with new technology, you know, could really do something with the fountain. Even Fountain Nations was cool, but I mean, these things are probably going to dance like never before, right? I mean, I would imagine these would be cool.
I think so.
We'll see. Leaning more towards win. I got to see it though. I just don't want it. I wish the rig would just go below the water during, you know, when there's no show.
I'm sorry, Mike.
You know, make the thing like 20 feet deep and just. And it's gone.
You haven't been out to California. You haven't seen what World of Color looks like. During the day, you can't see. They actually do lower below the water.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because I've seen, I haven't been there, but I've heard of it. I mean, I've seen videos. But yeah, I don't want the view to be, if it wasn't for the view being destroyed, I'd be like, win, you know, like ring the bell. So that'd be me. So we'll see. I'm excited because it's something new. All right, Ricky, give us a sitch.
What's a sitch?
Oh, got Kim it. Possible.
All right. So as we all know, dining at Disney has definitely changed over the past few months. So one of the big changes is, of course, the way that buffets have changed and gone, we've gone more to a prefix menu where you choose, you know, an appetizer and then you have like a couple of selections for an entree and then you have a couple of selections for dessert. So my question is, do you think this option is a win, fail, or meh over the buffet option?
You mean like instead of doing buffets, doing family style?
It's not technically family style though, because you're not all eating the same food like you would at Garden Grill. It's definitely more of like a prefix menu of you choose your entree, you choose your dessert. And I think the appetizer is usually like, that's more of a family style thing. So you have to agree on the appetizer. And usually it's a salad, so it's not like it's hard to, you know, agree hopefully on a salad, but so that's kind of how it is. It's more of like a prefix menu, kind of like what they were doing at Be Our Guest, you know, at the end before all of COVID hit. So does that make sense, Mike?
Yeah. I'm thinking, I'm pondering. Go to Pam first.
All right, let's go to Pam first. What do you think, Pam?
I think it's a big win. Are you kidding me? Like buffets, I didn't love that idea. You know, I've seen kids and adults.
Okay, stop, because I love buffets, so not gonna
do things they should not do at the buffet. The other people touching the food and eating the food at the buffet is another thing.
It's called sampling, Pam.
No, not okay. Not okay. While you're standing over a food dish that I have to scoop from next. No, not okay. So anyways, I'm just saying, I think this is a huge win because first of all, I think the quality of the food has improved during this time. And that's just going to be the case. You know, a buffet, no matter how good it is, and Disney really does do a great job maintaining and cleaning them, it's food that is going to be sitting in a warming dish for an extended period of time or a cooling dish, whatever the, you know, thing may be. So, you know, considering that, these are things that are more prepared at that point in time and brought to you or closer to the time that you're eating anyway. So I think that this is a win. I hope that they don't go away. I hope it stays like this.
See, I'm a meh. Okay, I'm a meh. I'm thinking about this because I do like buffets. I just don't think about that. There's so many things in life you cannot think about. And that is exactly what Pam was just saying. She just made that front and center in my mind. So it's a good thing buffets are not around right now. I have time to forget about it. But I do like just, again, here's the thing. I've never been to a Golden Corral, right? And I've never been to a Ruby Tuesdays. These are two restaurants we have in my town. Well, Ruby Tuesdays, I think, went out of business. But I kept telling Pam, like, I want to go to these places. And everybody's like, oh, my God, don't go to, like, if it was your last meal and you're going to get executed, you wouldn't want to go to Golden Corral. It's the grossest thing ever. There's these chocolate fountains. It's like a toy store to me. Like, I've never been there, so I want to explore. I want to try it out because you get what you want, right? And you don't have to wait.
Archers back in the day, by the way.
Archers, yeah, I went to Archers because it was right next to, Kenrod's. Yeah, it was right next because it was on the campus of my elementary school.
Like, yeah, Golden Corral. It's just like Archers was back in the day.
No, but it's like a thing.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but Golden Corral is like a cultural thing. Like, I feel like I'm missing out on some part of being an American by not going there. Anyway, I'm a meh because you're right. Pam has said all the reasons why the food's better because it's not sitting out, it's not being touched by other people. She's exactly right. That's right. But I'm giving it a meh because I am one of the few, the proud, the buffet fans. I'm sorry. That's me. I'm not patient. I'm an American. Like, I want to eat as much as I want if one thing and I want it now, you know, it's just like, that's 2020. All right. It was 2019. Okay. Go ahead. Ricky, what do you pick?
So I'm definitely more in the win category on this. I, again, agree with Pam. I don't love the idea of like the warming tray with the food just sitting out. And I know that Disney replenishes it rather quickly, you know, that kind of thing, but it's still sitting out. I think, like she said as well, I have experienced I've experienced this type of meal at Hollywood and Vine. And the reason I went is because it was not a buffet. That is, I had never been to Hollywood and Vine. And the only reason I even contemplated going was because it was not a buffet anymore. And so I was like, okay, I'm in. Let's go. So, I had a fantastic meal at Hollywood and Vine. I had prime rib, which I would have never had if I had, you know, gone to the buffet. And an amazing dessert, a great salad. So restaurant definitely stepped up its game as far as the meal was concerned. I feel like monetarily, the value was way better than, you know, a buffet, especially because, like, with the buffet, you know, you would always worry that you were going to miss the characters or, you know, whatever. And this was a character meal. Now, granted, of course, it's times of COVID. So, you know, you have to do the far away selfie kind of thing, but you still get to see the characters. And you didn't have to worry about the fact of, oh, am I going to miss, you know, Mickey because I'm going up to the buffet. And, you know, it's great for parents with small children because, you know, you don't have to go up to the buffet and toddle back, you know, with both of your plates and stuff like that. Like, it's just so much more simple. I think it is a fantastic idea. I too, like Pam, would like to see them just do away with the buffet and just go to either the family style meal or this prefix option, because I think it's a way, way better idea overall. Like, just heads and tails better than the buffet choice. So yes, definite win. Disney, keep this up. Don't go back to the buffet after COVID is over.
I'm getting a shirt that says hashtag buffet lover, by the way, just for the cause. Anyway, so here's kind of on topic, because you mentioned Hollywood and Vine and that led you to eating there. Is it strange that on this trip that we're on right now, the day I'm going to the studios, I really, really want to eat at the ABC commissary now. I mean, it's like the menu has improved, right? I mean, it's bounced back, maybe. I've seen some good stuff there.
It is better than it was for a while.
I've seen some good stuff there, I think. I think I'm going to try it. I mean, I'm going to get a Ronto wrap and maybe some tachos.
So I'm asking how you're going to be hungry, and I just realized, oh, it's you. So never mind.
I'm just saying. I mean, the thing is, is it so sad that and if you're listening to the show, you probably do the same thing. Like, you know, we're recording this on Monday. I'm going to be down in 4 days, and I'm already thinking, like, okay, when I go to the studios, I got to get a Ronto wrap. I got to get tachos. But where am I going to have, like, a meal? And I think it's going to be ABC Commissary this time. I don't know why. Maybe it's because they used to play the Love Boat theme, and I've been watching the Love Boat nonstop on Pluto TV. I don't know. You know, but the food looks good, too, now. It looks better.
All right.
We'll see. Well, maybe I'll do a little review.
There you go. That sounds like a good plan.
Dude, I totally just lost my situation I was going to give you.
Uh-oh. See, well, it's Pam's turn anyway, isn't it?
No, Pam. Did you do one, Pam? I can't even keep track. I'm so excited. Okay, no. Pam's up. Good, because I got to think of what mine was. I had a good one. I totally just lost it.
I didn't.
Go ahead.
But it's okay. So mine was going to be, and this is an easy one and a slam dunk one for those of you who know us, but I want to bring it up because how do you feel about the character cavalcades versus the parade? I mean, I know that we all have sang the praises for this. And the last time I was there, when I got to see all the holiday stuff, I felt it even more. It's a huge win in my book. I got to hang out at that Rivers of Light stadium, and they are in boats. So they all came through. So I got to wave to Santa and wave to Mickey and Minnie and all their holiday stuff. And I mean, there were like 10 that came through in a short period of time. It was amazing. I can't believe we didn't have this before, and I love it.
Okay,
so
let me ask you this, though. Okay, you had me till you said one thing, like, instead of parades. Okay, say that Disney gave us this option, Pam, just hypothetically. They said, you can have your character cavalcades, or we can bring back Festival of Fantasy in the afternoon and bring back a Main Street Electrical Parade or like a Spectral Magic at night, but you got to give up your cavalcades. What would you do?
Well, so it's easy for me to do the daytime. The daytime ones would be a no-brainer for me because I would still say character cavalcades. I truly would. I think that they offer just as much, if not more, character interaction. I think that it's really cool that people can just sort of happen upon them. Again, like I mentioned before with the fountain thing, the nighttime parade's a little more challenging for me, but they don't have a nighttime parade right now at Magic Kingdom. So it's hard to really compare it to that. You know what I mean? But I think the daytime parades, I would have no problem giving up.
Yeah, ideally coming out of this, what I'd love to see, and again, it probably won't happen, but would be cavalcades in the day, one big nighttime parade at some point, because the night, to me, just again, growing up at Disney, you know, when I was in my 20s and on, it's that you always ended the night with fireworks and Spectra, or fireworks and Main Street Electrical Parade, or Illuminations and Tapestry of Nations, you know, something like that. And, mm-hmm. you know, it still seems missing even a decade later, a little bit.
I agree. I mean, I agree the nighttime parades were part of it, but they did offer more of the projection and the castle show, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that there's that, too, is taking the place of that.
Ooh. Okay, Ricky, did you go?
I did go, but I mean, I didn't answer the question.
Okay, because I just thought of mine, so I got to write it down. Okay, go ahead, Doug. We got to answer.
The same one now at this point. Okay, so I agree with Pam. I would love to say goodbye to the afternoon parade and just have the character cavalcades. As people well know, I'm not that much of a parade person. I do like the only real parade I really like is the the Boo to You parade. Like that's the only real parade that I actually like. So I would be perfectly okay with, you know, just getting rid of the afternoon parade and doing these cavalcades. I think they're fantastic. You don't have to invest a lot of time in them, which is great. They happen frequently, so you can just happen upon them. And I think it's just a great idea. I really love the cavalcades. I love that they have added them to parks that didn't have parades. I'm looking at you, Disney's Animal Kingdom. I'm looking at you, Epcot. You know, like, it's been so long since those parks have had parades at this point that it's really nice to see something happening at these parks. The waters at, you know, the Discovery River,
River Cruise.
Yeah, like that hasn't been used for basically anything in forever. And the fact that Disney can finally use that again for this, I think it's genius. So I'm 100% on board with these cavalcades. I say bring it, keep them. The only thing I think that Disney wouldn't keep them for is because, you know, obviously right now the parks are it's more capacity issues, because right now the parks are obviously not at full capacity. And so, you know, I don't know once they do come back to a more full capacity if they can offer them, because of course they do have to clear people off the streets and things like that. So that's the only issue I think that they're going to have, but they do it all the time for, you know, the 3 o'clock parade. So, I mean, I think it's absolutely doable.
Yeah, so. I say win too, because you could just, you know, you could take Festival of Fantasy and just bust out the components. You know, you have the Tangle float come out.
Exactly.
And then you have, you know, whatever, you know, the next float. So yeah, I'm for it. I miss my old Spectrum. I love the music and the lights and just the end of the night. It was so fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's mine. Win, fail, or meh. We all went win on that one. So we keep projections on Cinderella Castle during the holidays, talking October or Christmas, and we never get the lights. The dangly lights never come back. The icicles never come back. But we get the projections. So we get the 2020 version of Cinderella Castle rather than the overlay with the Christmas lights. Is that a win, fail, or meh, Ricky?
I knew that's where you're going, because that's exactly the next one I was going to go with.
See? Gotcha.
I know. I absolutely think it's a win. Now, I know that the castle lights were gorgeous. I mean, don't get me wrong. They were simply beautiful. But having experienced the projections that they do on Cinderella Castle, as well as on Tower of Terror. And, you know, I think that there's just so much more that they can do with it and make it so much more unique. And I love it. I absolutely think that they should keep this instead of the castle lights. Plus, then they don't have to have the crane there, and it won't ruin people's photographs in September and October when the crane is up putting the lights up. So I say win. I hope Disney keeps this because I think they'd be silly not to at this point. Like, it's way cheaper than putting up the lights. So yes, and it's so much cooler, I think, in my opinion.
Has anybody checked on the Magic Kingdom crane? I think it has a Twitter account. I don't know what he's doing, you know, or he or she is. She like in the unemployment line, or like where's the crane? We'll check on that. All right, Pam, what about you? Win, fail, or meh to keep things like they are and never have the icicle lights hanging again?
Yeah, I think it's a win too for a number of the reasons that Ricky mentioned. First of all, the installation of the castle lights is a long process. There's so many complaints about it. And I think it's just an opportunity where Disney really could save some money and do something that is really just as spectacular in so many ways. They can have a number of these different projections and do this kind of nighttime activity during any holiday season, not just Christmas. They could do it for something as simple as Valentine's Day. They could do it for Easter. They could do it for Thanksgiving. They could do it. I mean, this is a projection thing. So I see the possibilities being endless here, and I love it. And I'm just a fan of it. First of all, the castle lights were really good. And when you had a good photographer capturing those, that was awesome. But these are a lot easier to photograph too, and for people to share with their friends and family. And I know that that's not something where like, oh, you're only doing it for the photo. But at the same time, the castle lights could be challenging for someone to get a really good shot of. And I just love the intimacy, like the fact that I can walk up close to the castle lights, or the castle now with the projection on it. Like I can get up close to it. I think that's really cool too. And how about the photos coming out of
they're
that?
Unbelievable. How have they been unreal? Awesome? I mean, they're so sharp. It's unbelievable. Like I can't, exactly. I still can't believe the pictures I'm seeing because I haven't been there yet right now. So
exactly. And that was the thing I think with the projection shows, like every now and then you get a spectacular photo, but because they were always in motion, it was challenging to do. The fact that these are there for a period of time, like 15 minutes or so, that makes it really easy to get. So
I would like them to bring it down to like 10 minutes, I think, or 5 minutes and switch it a little bit faster. But that's my only like beef with it. Like, you know, that's it. Like, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You see, this is how I think. If I work for Disney and I was at the Magic Kingdom, I'd turn those things on, but I'd project the old castle like icicles. So it look, because you know they could make it look exactly the same.
Yeah.
They do all this other stuff. Why not just make a screen that's like, bam, that's the, everybody's like, oh my God, they did hang them. We just didn't see them. And they'd freak out. The internet would break. And I mean, they could do it. It could look exactly the same if they wanted it to. I have no doubt. They could totally scan that. Why don't they do that? Then everybody's happy.
Yes. Oh,
anyway, that's
that could just be one of the many projections.
Agreed.
People lose their minds. They'd be like, "Oh my God!" and just leave them like the whole night. Don't change them. Just like leave that bam, and everybody be like, "What? Wait, what?" And you know, project some kind of crane next to it. You know, and boom, everybody freaks out. Okay, that's just my demented mind because I'd just like to mess with people. All right, we got like 10 minutes left. Ricky, give one more.
Okay, so we all know that Disney is changing the main Walt Disney World entrance signs. They're going from the classic purple and gold and, you know, multicolored ones to more of a blue color. So what are your thoughts about the updated colors? And I'm going to go with Mike first.
This one's a fail. And I know aesthetically everything needs a zhuzh. Every once in a while, as Pam says, needs a little zhuzh, and there's zhuzh in the signs. But here's the thing. Can we please just have a few things that stay the same forever? I'm a nostalgia geek, right? I listen to retro podcasts. I love my old Pac-Man games. Like, these are not like, you know, they're way off. They're you know, they're not next to theme parks. They're not even next to the hotels. They're just like that thing that marks that you're on vacation. Leave them alone. Just, you know, like that's, it could be the same paint chips that fall on you. They may even be lead paint. I don't know. But like, they're old, they're classic. Just stop. Just leave a couple things. You don't have to touch everything. It's like the buffet, right? You don't have to touch everything. Leave the signs. I'm saying fail. Even though they are cute, I like them. But yeah, leave them the same.
Oh my.
You know, because okay. I like the aesthetic of an old Holiday Inn, like neon sign, right? There's nothing cooler than the old 70s Holiday Inn signs. I'm just saying, like, or Howard Johnson's. Like, bring those back. But that's just another, that's another argument for another day.
All right, Pam, it's your turn.
I'm gonna say that I like them. I like the new sign. What's so funny is when I originally hear about something changing, I'm kind of like, huh, I wonder how I'm gonna feel about that. And I sort of go through that process of thinking about it. And then typically whenever it's revealed, I'm like, oh, love it. Why wasn't it always like this? And that's how I am with the sign too. I think it does need a little zhuzh, as I say, that it does need that. Sorry, Mike, to rain on your parade.
You take hashtag Scotty G out there with his 90s outfit, with his fanny pack, his neon hat, and his neon shirt, and his socks on his Crocs, and have him lean up against one of those signs. It's like an ad from like a 1992, like a travel brochure and a JCPenney catalog.
I don't want Scott to wear those neon Crocs at any point in time. So no. I'm not going to be an advocate to do it with the 90s song sign. I'm not.
Just saying. All right, Ricky, what are you doing? Win, fail, or man the new signs?
I mean, obviously, I think you could tell by my reaction to your fail that it's a total win. I mean, it is way classier than what was there before. I think that the colors are much better. It was way too much. I loved it. It was definitely a Disney of a certain time.
Right.
But, you know, it is not 1990 anymore. We are in, you know, 2020 at this point, and it's time to upgrade just a little. And look, it's just paint. It's not like they took the signs down and redid them completely. It's just a new paint scheme. Paint,
yeah, so. Hey, paint matters. I'm just saying. matters.
Look, I think I would be more upset if they got rid of the purple, like, directional signs.
No, don't even go there. I would lose my mind. That would be a fail of epic proportions. Just stop. That just my heart skipped a beat when you said that. Quit.
I would agree with that. Breathe. Now, that is super 1990s as well.
I don't care. Some things are just awesome, and they just need to stay awesome. I'm saying.
I'm sorry, everyone, if I said those words and it is announced this week.
Yes, we got to stop. Everything we talk about changes. You got to knock that stuff off. We are on a roll lately.
I know I have this power, and I'm sorry if I accidentally spoke that into fruition. So, my bad.
Dude, I am editing this out right now. Because I love those purple signs. Okay.
I do too.
Oh
yes.
My gosh. I won't even sleep. I'll toss and turn all night in bed tonight thinking about that. The purple. All of a sudden, the purple signs are like a rose gold. No, stop. Okay, last one, Pam. Give us one more. We're getting out of here and heading down to Give Kids a World.
So this is for the table service restaurants. And via the app now, sometimes you can get in the waiting line. What do they call it? I'm not saying the terminology correctly, but you can place yourself in sort of a holding pattern to see if you can get in on a table, even if you weren't able to get an advanced dining reservation. And I think most of us will probably think this is a big win, but I've heard some people say that they like to be able to go into the restaurant and actually finesse whoever's at the desk to like talk to them a little bit to get it, you know, out of the way. But for me, there's something to be said for being able to get, get in line there right on the app. Like I could be at the Magic Kingdom and be like, okay, I wasn't able to get California Grill. I can wait for it right now. And boom, I can go over there, you know, when it's my time. So I love this idea. I think it was so genius. And I often wonder, like, it's interesting how something like this causes Disney to sort of kick up some new technology, like things that people have been doing for forever. I always wondered, like, why was Disney not texting people back when, you know, their table's ready, or, you know what I mean, instead of this. And now they're doing all these things. They're texting you back. They're notifying you in the app, all these things. So I love that. So for me, it's a win. I don't know. Ricky, what do you think?
I think the cast members love it because then they don't have to have people try to finesse them anymore.
Right. Hey, there's nothing wrong with sliding somebody a George Washington on the side to try to get that corner booth at Denny's. You know what I'm saying? Come on now.
walk over from the Hojo's.
Exactly, where you stand across the street with the awesome sign with that big arrow.
Yes, exactly. So I'm sure the cast members love this. And truthfully, I do too. You know, there are times where I have tried to see if there's like walk-up availability at places, and being able to do it in the app just makes it so much easier because I don't have to walk all the way over there or visit, you know, that hotel or whatever and see, you know, if I'm not at that hotel. So it just makes life a lot easier for me. And I did try to use this it was at Ma Melrose, which was a place that I didn't know that they were offering it, but it showed up in the app for me while I was down there, and in November. And I did try to go there, but unfortunately, by the time I tried to add myself to the wait list, I guess it was full because they would not let me add myself. So, yeah, I think it's a big win. Again, like you said, Pam, Disney utilizing this technology in being forced to utilize technology is super fantastic, I think, because, you know, it allows them to change and adapt into things that other places are doing. And you know, Disney was just a little behind on. So I say it's a win. For sure.
I agree, because it gives you options, right? And the thing is, too, in 2020, we need options. And plus, I mean, can you imagine what? Because all it really does is it keeps you from having to go into the check-in desk and have that interaction face-to-face with the host or hostess. But, you know, like, think about this, you know, 2019. So my hand you one of those, like, square buzzer things.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no.
Dude, you trying to kill me? Like, what are you handing me that for? Like, you know, like, I mean, that's just, we are changed people. We are all messed up right now. I'm just saying, like, we're good with touching our own little device. It's good. You know, we make sure you sanitize every day. But, you know, like, give me a buzz on that thing. Do not give me that old thing that, you know, if you sit it down, you know, I don't need to see I'm about it.
Exactly. And what is nice is that, you know, with all this, like you said, when you have a reservation, not even if you, you know, don't have one and you're trying to join the wait list, but if you have a reservation, they actually definitely encourage you to use the mobile check-in. Matter of fact, I kind of forgot while I was there for that Hollywood and Vine reservation that I had. And I went up to the cast member and they're like, oh, have you checked in online? And I was like, oh, no, I haven't. So, you know, even then, like, it's they're not even checking people in that way anymore. They're really just informing you to go to the app and do it that way. So I think that that's genius. And again, then they'll notify you by text that your, you know, time is up. It's time to eat. And it's great. So yay, bravo, Disney, on using technology for dining. Like, hallelujah.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. Tech for the win. And let's be honest. I mean, as we close out the show, there are just days we just don't want to have to deal with another human being, right? We just want to push a button and be able to get some food. I mean, you want to go to your favorite restaurant, right? But I mean, it's like one less human you have to talk to. And Disney can be overwhelming. There's a lot of humans.
There's definitely a lot of humans.
Just saying. It gives you an option.
There are.
You know, we make magic in weird ways, I guess. All right. So we are going to get out of here again. Please join us tomorrow on YouTube and Facebook. Normal places, we're going to be on the air from 2 to 8 Eastern time, taking your calls. So give us a call. Please donate some money to Give Kids a World. That's why we're there. Bid on the auction items. Opportunity to get some amazing, amazing items. And the best part is all the money, all the funds going to Give Kids a World. They're awesome stewards of your donations. They take great care of the money. And, you know, you're going to... The thing is, put a good feeling in your heart. You're going to put a smile on the face of a family that is going through a tremendous hardship. I mean, if you're a parent, and even if you're not a parent, you know that if you have a loved one that's going through something, the whole family's going through it, right? And this is an opportunity to ease that pain a little bit, and that's what we're going to do tomorrow, Saturday, December 5th. Please do join us, and we'll have an opportunity for donations. We'll have a good time. We'll if you want to give us a win, fail, or meb, we'll throw some out. You can call in. We'll play some games. We'll have some fun. So do join us tomorrow. Don't forget today's show, as always, brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. It is a great time to put together a holiday, you know, not a holiday trip necessarily. You can still get down there for the holidays, but a 2021 vacation, which could be a gift for this holiday season. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Great website. Look at all the resort guides. Check out all the specials that are out there. There's specials out there for folks that still have annual passes. There's folks for that have Disney visas. There's some great just general offers for early 2021. Amazing stays. Like, if you ever wanted to stay at the Contemporary Theme Park View, early 2021 is the time to knock that off your bucket list. Just saying. So just drop by the Magic for Less. Fill out the quote form. We'll take great care of you. Check them out over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. As you do that holiday shopping, it sure helps us out. And again, thank you to all of our patrons, patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast for the extra content in your week. Give us a follow on the social media. I'm at brguestmike on Instagram and Twitter. We have BR Guest Pod as well. Ricky is at Ricky Nibs. Follow Pam at TMFLT Pam. And we're going to be putting out the content while we're down there, having a good time with that. And of course, please do subscribe to the show on YouTube. Just hit the button. What do the kids say? Slam the bell or something like that.
Smash that button, the bell, whatever.
So you know when we go live, you'll be with us tomorrow and forevermore. Like us on Facebook, BR Guest Podcast on Facebook. And we'll be in all the places tomorrow. All right, until then, we're going to get out of here and talk to everybody for 6 hours live tomorrow. I cannot wait. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Friday. I'm going to ABC Commissary. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.